Well, friends, last week we looked at the question, is God in control of the coronavirus? And we saw that indeed we can say absolutely that yes, he is. He is absolutely, sovereignly in control of this virus. It did not come as a surprise to him. It did not come out of his plan, but in his good sovereignty, it has come. But this leaves us with the next kind of question. How do I then respond to the virus? How do I live day to day? You know, it's all good and well to say that God is in control and that yes, he has a plan with all of this, but how do we actually go about living each day? What do we base our lives on? How do we respond to our current situation? Well, to ask the question, I guess in a little bit of a different way, what foundation do we then build our lives on in light of this virus? You see, the reality is that the Bible says there are really only two things that we can build our lives on. There are really only two foundations that we can work from. There's really only two things that we can base our lives on. Now, the first foundation is a foundation of sand, which leads to us responding in fear. And the second foundation is a foundation of a rock, which leads us to respond in faith. So we have sand, which leads us to respond in fear, and we have rock, which leads us to respond in faith. So is it faith or is it fear? Let's have a look. Let's have a look at the first way, which is this foundation of sand, which ultimately leads us to living in fear. Now, I want to read for you a scripture from the book of Matthew, and I'm reading there from verse 13, where Matthew says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who go through it. But how narrow is the gate? And how difficult is the road that leads to life, and very few find it. Be on your guard against false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravaging wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or are figs gathered from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and neither can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So, you'll recognize them by their fruit. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, we didn't recognize you, or prophesy in your name, or drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name?' Then I will announce to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers.' Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains fell and the rivers rose and the winds blew and pounded that house. Yet it didn't collapse, because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. It collapsed with a great crash." Now, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, because he was teaching them like one who had authority and not like the scribes. Now, friends, notice what's happening here in our text. Jesus is busy teaching. This is part of that famous Sermon on the Mount of his. We find this in Matthew 5 through to Matthew 7. And he's busy teaching us, that is, teaching the people who really wanted to hear what he had to say about how life works. He's saying that in life there are really these two different paths that people tend to travel on in life. There's the one path that ultimately leads to our destruction. And then there's another path which ultimately leads to life. And what he's saying is, if you want to walk down the path that leads to life, your life is going to look quite differently to most people's lives. You see, that road is narrow. That road isn't easy. That road isn't easy to walk on. Walking that road is hard sometimes. But walking on that road is walking on a solid road with a solid foundation. It leads to life. But the other road, that is the wide road, the sin road, if you like, ultimately leads to your death, to your destruction. Now, what Jesus is talking about here is about following him. It's about having him as the Lord of our life. It's about trusting in him to make us right with God. And then living a life in full obedience and grateful obedience to him because of his sacrifice on the cross. Now, friends, what's different about these two different paths, the narrow road and the wide road, is that the narrow path is about following Jesus, but the wide path is about following the world. And we're going to talk about what that looks like a bit later in the message, what it actually looks like for us to follow Jesus. But right now, I want to focus on the second part of our passage. The part where Jesus speaks of these two different kinds of foundations for us to build our lives on. You see, Jesus is making a particular point here. He's saying that if you build your life on the sand, on the wide path, if you like, then when the storms of life come and they hit your house, it will collapse. When the storms of life hit us, and if we've built our lives on anything other than the solid foundation of him, he calls that a sandy foundation, a shaky foundation, our entire world collapses. And friends, that's why we're scared. That's why we get anxious when things like this coronavirus come. Because we know in the deepest recesses of our hearts that our foundations are not secure. Our houses are built on sandy, shaky foundations. We're building on something that doesn't give us surety in life. Our lives are built on something which can't anchor us when those storms of life actually hit. But how do we know? How do we know if we've built our life on the sandy soil, on the shaky foundation? How do we know where we've gone and built our house? How do we know if our house is built on this sand that Jesus talks about? Well, there's a fairly simple diagnostic question we can ask ourselves. And that is, how much fear do I have? How scared am I when the carpet gets pulled out from under me? How much anxiety do I have over our current situation? How scared am I about what will happen to me if I get this coronavirus or whatever other disease might be in the world? You see, friends, the truth is that the extent to which we are shaken by our external circumstances shows us just how much we trust in our external circumstances to keep us safe. And what our current situation has shown us is just how much all of us actually have built our lives on these external things. How much trust we have actually put in things other than Jesus to keep us safe. And the thing is that the human heart, our hearts, want to build our foundations on anything other than God. The book of Jeremiah tells us that our hearts are deceitful above all things. You know, we actually want to trust in all of these things that aren't secure, that don't keep us safe. That's the wide road. That's why it's the wide road. You know, trusting in Jesus is a narrow road because it goes against our very nature. We will build our foundations on anything really other than Christ, because we as human beings don't want to follow God. Now, maybe the foundation we've been leaning on is our social group, you know, our friends, our family, the circles we travel in. Maybe we rely on them to make us feel as if we are safe, as if we are okay, as if we will be fine because people love me. But as the coronavirus has stopped us from meeting with people, many of us have been left feeling anxious that we can't see these people. That external validation doesn't come anymore. Some of us have been relying on our wealth to keep us safe. You know, we believe that if we have enough money, or if our economy was good enough, or if we have enough super in our super account, then we will be okay. And as the coronavirus has been devastating our economy and economies around the world, we have taken on a significant amount of economic debt. Many people have lost their jobs. Their incomes, their livelihoods have been destroyed, and maybe you find yourself in that group. Maybe you're closer to retirement and your super fund has lost significant amounts of money. And this has left you feeling shaken. Now, we feel shaken, friends. We feel anxious because our anchor, the foundation on which we have built our life, has been shown to be weak and fragile and not at all as safe as we thought. Some of us have been relying on our health to keep us safe. You know, maybe we are the lucky ones who've never really had any issues with disease. Maybe we're fit as a fiddle. We're healthy and strong, and all of a sudden there's this disease hanging over us, looming like a cloud. And maybe we get anxious because this aspect of ourselves, which we didn't even realize was a source of great strength for us, is being attacked, is being called into question. What if I get this disease? And some of us have been relying on the odds. You know, we kind of look at the statistics and we say, for example, oh look, only about 4% of people who get this virus actually die. And you know, I'm not really in the at-risk category, so I should be okay. But what happens, what happens, friends, when you aren't okay? When you actually do fall into the at-risk category? When the odds are not in your favor? What then? What then? You see, friends, the odds are not a good solid foundation to anchor your life on. And the reality is, no matter what we actually choose to build our lives on, no matter what that is, if that is not Jesus and his completed work on the cross, if that is not on God who loves us enough to die for us, then we're walking the wide road. Then we are building our houses on sand. And then what happens when we find ourselves in a situation like this is that we respond in fear. Fear over our circumstances. Will I be okay? What if this happens? What if that happens? What if I don't have enough money? What if I catch the disease? What if I die? What if my wealth disappears? What if my social group breaks up because of this? What if I lose my family? What if I lose my health? You know, friends, these are the questions that taunt us. They taunt us when our lives are built on the sandy foundation. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying it's wrong to ask these kinds of questions. I think it's quite natural for human beings to ask questions like this at a time like this. But when these questions dominate our thinking, when they kind of haunt us, when they cause us anxiety and stress, they show us that we love these things too much, that we trust in these external things too much. They show us that the foundations we have built our lives on are sandy, and that leads us to fear. And as we have seen, Jesus tells us that this is a foolish way to live our lives. Sandy soil is a bad place to build your life's house. Because when the storms of life come, as they have now come, our foundations are shaken and we end up living in fear. That's unhelpful. So then how are we supposed to respond in faith? Well, let's read from verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house. Yet, it didn't collapse, because its foundation was built on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. It collapsed with a great crash. So then how do we build our lives on this solid, strong, rocky foundation? In essence, how do we live in faith? I think there are really two ways that people tend to respond in faith. Two ways in which it looks like they're responding in faith. Because the first way which we respond in faith is really the wrong kind of way to respond in faith. It's a faith that looks not much like the biblical faith at all. In fact, it looks far more like denial. You know, maybe you've met people like this where they always say everything is fine, always. It's always good, it's always sunny. There never seems to be a problem, but that's not because they have such a strong trust in Jesus. It's just that they aren't fazed by anything, because they live in this kind of denial as to the seriousness of their current circumstances. You see, when we live like this, it's as if we refuse to accept, as if we refuse to admit what's really going on inside, what we're feeling. And I think it's actually pretty easy for Christians to fall into this trap. Now, I'm not really sure where this comes from, but it seems to me that many believers think that because Jesus is our King, because we trust, you know, in his death and his resurrection to free us from our sin. Because of that, I think some people think that we can't admit when things are tough. We don't like being vulnerable. We can't admit that actually maybe life is difficult. Maybe it's because the truth is too unpleasant for us to bear. Maybe we just feel like we can't face reality. Maybe we're scared that if we admit that things are tough, it'll cause this kind of fatal flaw, this chink in our faith armor, and cause us to question God. But friends, a faith that does not, I guess, encompass reality is not true faith. It's delusion. When our faith has become the screen behind which we delude ourselves that everything is okay, everything is fine, when everything is not fine, then we're actually just lying to ourselves. And the truth of God is not in us. And that's not faith. That's just delusion. You know, one of the media's favorite quotes about faith is something that the governor of Minnesota, his name is Jesse Ventura, it's something that he said in a press conference once. He said that religion is a sham and a crutch for weak-minded people who need strength in numbers. Religion is a sham and a crutch for weak-minded people who need strength in numbers. Karl Marx said something similar. He claimed that religion was an opiate for the masses. And when we deny our pain, when we ignore our suffering, when we pretend that everything is fine just because we believe in Jesus, we're actually proving their point. But friends, God is not a drug. He doesn't numb us to the realities of life. He's not just an opiate that gives us a fake sense of security and joy in this life. Belief in an all-powerful, all-loving, and all-good God gives us the tools, actually, and the strength, actually, to get through the hard times. The Christian worldview, actually, is the only one that really makes any sense. You know, the Buddhist believes that all pain and suffering are but an illusion. So if you are feeling pain and suffering, it's because you haven't cast off this world yet. The Hindu believes that actually we all deserve exactly what we're getting because of some past wickedness or sin in our past life. The atheist believes that there is nothing and that all of life is essentially meaningless. But the Bible, friends, does not pretend that this life is easy. The Bible doesn't teach us that we should pretend that suffering isn't real. What the Bible does do is it tells us about how good God is. How God has come into the world to fix its brokenness. It tells us why the world is broken in the first place, because of sin. And then tells us how God is fixing it. In a sense, the Christian worldview is the most realistic of all the worldviews. You know, at least half of the Psalms, the songs in the Bible where we sing praise to God, are songs of complaint about pain. They're songs that complain about sickness. Songs that complain about enemies and war and famine and sin and evil and the difficulty we have to worship God. The unfairness in the world. These poems, these prayers, these songs are poured out to God in faith. Because the Bible is real about suffering. A delusional denial type of faith is not the kind of faith the Bible gives us. And it's not what Jesus wants for us. That's not what walking down the narrow road looks like. And really, friends, that isn't what building a strong foundation looks like. Delusional denial kind of faith is the wrong kind of faith. So if that's not what responding in faith looks like, then what does responding in biblical faith look like? Look again with me at verse 24 there. Therefore, this is Jesus speaking, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. Its foundation was built on the rock. Now friends, we've seen what responding in fear looks like, or building our house on sand looks like. We've seen what responding in a kind of denial type faith looks like and seen that that's really not what Scripture wants for us. But here in verse 24, this is what real faith looks like in the context of suffering. Notice there, the rain falls, the rivers rose, the wind blows and pounds the house, but it doesn't collapse. It does not collapse. You see, that is what real biblical faith gives us. That's what being built on the solid rock gives us, a house that doesn't collapse even in the midst of the storm. You see, Jesus isn't delusional. He knows. He knows, friends, that there will be storms in life. He knows that the rain will fall. He knows that the rivers will rise, sometimes so high that it feels like it's choking us. He knows that the winds will lash our homes. But here is the thing. When our foundation is Jesus, when we are built on the rock, even though these things come, we will not collapse. No matter what happens in the world, we will not collapse. That's what biblical faith offers us. Now notice, our text doesn't say that there was no wind. Our text doesn't say that there was no storm. The Bible doesn't say that, you know, even though the storm came, the person felt okay. It says that the house does not collapse. It is firm, it is strong, even when everything around it is not. And that's a pretty big difference. That's vastly different to living in fear and living this kind of denial type faith. That's what biblical faith looks like. And so when someone asks us, you know, how are you? It's not to say I feel fine. It's to say I am fine. You know, we might not feel fine. We might be sick. We might be dying. You might be suffering. You might well have terrible pain. You might not feel fine at all. But the Christian has an absolutely unique situation in the world, in that we can actually say always, I am fine. I am fine even though I don't feel fine. How can we say that? Why can we say that? We can say that because, friends, we know that because we believe in Jesus, we will live with God forever. We will join Him when He comes again in the world free from sin, free from death, free from pain. That's the secret to Christian hope. We know we have a future. We will stand there with Jesus when the world is recreated, and we will gather around His throne forever, worshiping Him without any pain, without any death again, where tears no longer rain, where sin is gone. And we know that no matter what happens in this life, it is ultimately for our good. If I live, then that's because God has arranged things like that for my good. If I lose my money, then that is for my good too. I don't need to fear that, because God is still in control. If I stay healthy, well, that's because God has decreed that for my good. And if I get sick, well, then that's for my good too. So whether I feel fine or whether I feel rubbish, biblically speaking, friends, if you believe in Jesus, you are fine. I am fine. I'm okay even when I don't feel okay. You know, the book of Hebrews in chapter 1, verse 3 tells us that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. He's the exact representation of God's nature. But listen to this. He upholds all things by His powerful word. Similarly, Psalm 37 tells us, it tells us this. It says, the power of the wicked will be broken, But the Lord upholds the righteous. And you know what that means? That means that I too am held up by his powerful word. God actively sustains me during these times of trial. He will one day break all evil. All wickedness will go. All evil will be dealt with. And to the one who trusts in Jesus, God declares. He says this in Isaiah 41. To the believer, he says, I have chosen you. I haven't rejected you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. Friends, here's the truth. We are okay, even if we don't feel okay. I am fine even when I don't feel fine. I'm fine even though my retirement savings have evaporated out of my super account. Because God does sustain me and he still upholds me with his hand. I am fine. Even when my social circles have disappeared, because God is with me. He is at my right hand. He is my strength and my shield. God is with me. I am fine even when my health fails. Because even if I die, I end up living forever with God. I am fine even when I don't feel fine. You see, that's the secret of living in faith. That's the secret of living in faith. I am fine even though I don't feel fine. But notice, friends, that's the secret of living in faith. This is not so for those of us who do not currently trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Those of us who have not yet found the freedom from sin that God offers through Jesus Christ, his Son. You see, the Bible tells us that every other foundation, every other reason for living, every other place we get our hope from will ultimately lead to death, destruction, and disappointment. That is what walking the wide road is all about. You know, friends, what the coronavirus has shown us is just how true it is that our foundations are shaky if we don't build it on Jesus. So come. Come today and give your life to Christ too. Stop following, stop worshiping, stop walking down this wide road and building your life on all these other foundations, all these other things that you thought would give you strength, all those things that you thought would give you security. Leave all that behind and come to Christ. Find peace in him. Find freedom in him. Find true biblical faith in him. You know, friends, there is a Christian song called My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. And in its chorus, it repeats this line. It goes as follows. It says, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. So will you come? Will you come and build your house on Christ, the solid rock, so that your foundation too could never be shaken? So that you too can live in faith and not fear? Will you come and leave the wide road, jump on the narrow road and follow Christ? Will you come? Let me pray. Lord, we thank you that we can come before you as your people. We thank you that we can come before you and live in faith, knowing that we are fine even if we don't feel fine. But Lord, help us to leave the wide road and follow the narrow road. Help those of us who do not trust in you as the sole foundation of our lives, who have built our foundations on the shaky sand, the sinking sand. Help us to leave that behind. Oh Lord, Change our hearts and reveal yourself to us. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.